The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we would not have you ignorant concerning those who are asleep, lest you should grieve, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so with him God will bring those also who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we who live, who survive until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with cry of command, with voice of archangel, and with trumpet of God, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. Then we who live, who survive, shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 11, verses 21 to 27. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you shall ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise at the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who have come into the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our condolences to you for your loss. She was a very dear lady for all of us. She was our friend, good friend. Just so you know, she's responsible for our rose garden. So we will pray for her the rest of our life. We will miss her, as we know you will. We'll miss her not only because she was enjoyable to be with, but also because she was a loyal and faithful servant of God. She loved the holy sacrifice of the Mass, especially the traditional Latin Mass. That's what she loved. And she loved our Blessed Mother. And because of that, we believe that if the Mother of God has not already rescued her from purgatory and taken her to heaven, then at least she is there consoling her. Because that's what our Blessed Mother does. It is a good lesson for all of us on occasion like this. It is a reminder that there is nothing more certain in life than death. In a very, very short time, we will all be here in her place. And that means that we will all have been judged by that time. We will have three options. As you know, we will either be in heaven or hell, or we will be in purgatory. If we are in purgatory, we will be detained there for a time because of our sins, because of our imperfections. And then, after we have been there for the necessary amount of time to make us perfect, then we will go to heaven and we will be with God. We will see God face to face for all eternity, the beatific vision. But if we are in purgatory, we will be there and we will be suffering and we will be perfected. And the means of our perfection will be the presence of God. He is the one who will perfect us in purgatory. He will be the cause of not only our great suffering, which will be excruciating. We will have a debt to pay because it will mean, our presence there, that we were not sufficiently sorry for all that the wrongs we did while we were here on earth. Pretty much all of us will be there, unless we are a saint. Because, you know, in sacred scripture it says that even the just man falls 7 times a day, which is as much as to say that we are all sinners and that we sin often. And we will go to purgatory because few of us have the sorrow for our sins that it makes us back in God's good graces and makes us perfect. How much suffering must we endure since the God that we have offended is infinitely pure, infinitely loving? So our suffering there will be great. But in addition to our Lord and Savior, our God, being the direct cause of our excruciating pain in purgatory, he will also be the cause of our exquisite joy in purgatory. Not only because we will not be able to commit a sin, and that will make us happier than we have ever been before, that we know we are and that cannot possibly be lost. Be a great, great joy to us. But we will know that soon we will be in heaven and we will see him. For most of us, for most people, days like this are very sad. But for those of us who have the faith, it's a great joy, a day like this, because Not that we know for certain what happens to anyone. Not unless someone has been canonized and declared a great saint. So even though we can't be absolutely certain of anyone's place after this life, those who have the faith have great confidence. And that comes from the infinite mercy and love of God, and especially of the heart of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loves us more than we will ever be able to understand or appreciate. And we know with relative certainty that He will bring us to Himself. And also, we know that our love comes from our Blessed Mother. She watches over us, and with her immaculate heart, she purifies us because of her love for each of us. And so we know that we will be given this inestimable gift of purgatory after our life, unless we are perfect. And when we are there, we will be given, we will have, but it will be perfected. We will have a great desire to see God, to be with Him. We know He is there with us, but we cannot see Him clearly. We know that we will be with Him sometime in heaven. And so this desire that we have draws us to Him. And when we are drawn to God, as we draw closer to Him, we feel the great shame and pain of being near this infinitely pure love. And so we reel. And then, because of the mystical body of Christ, which gives you and me the ability to assist our friends, our loved ones there, because we are all members of His body. And so because of our prayers, our desire there is increased. And this inextinguishable fire that is burning in us to see God is increased. And we are drawn to Him, and we reel. And we go back and forth until our desire, this, by the way, is true. The desire for something is everything. This is true of sin also. Because all we need do to commit a sin is desire it. And we're already guilty. And so it works the other way also. Our desire for good makes us good. If it is an effective desire. And so desire is everything, our longing. And so when this burning fire in us reaches such a point that we would rather suffer all the pain in the world to see our Savior. We go to heaven. When we are burning up with love, then we enter heaven. These things that we are telling you come right directly from the mouth of Christ Himself. Because when He was here, He said to His apostles, "I have come to cast fire on the earth, and what will I but that it be enkindled?" He said this just before His death. And when He said these words, He was thinking, we would suggest to you, He was thinking more of purgatory than He was here in this world. The reason we say that to you is because most people, when they meet their Maker and they are judged, do not have a fire. They do not have a burning desire to see God. So, if these words of Christ are true, and we know they are, where is the fire? How many people do you know that have that fire when they die? That they are being burned up with the desire to see God, because that's what is necessary to see Him, to be worthy to be in His presence. Nothing impure can be in God's presence. Nothing that is not made to the image and likeness of Christ. And who do we know that is made when He reaches His death, who is made to the image and likeness of Christ? What does that look like? Like that. That's what, in order to enter into the happiness of heaven at our death, that is what we must look like. It says it throughout the Scriptures, throughout the New Testament. We must be made in the image of Christ. Who is made like that on His deathbed? Very few. And so, this is why we say to you that He was thinking primarily, our Lord and Savior, of the fire in purgatory. That is where He casts the fire. That's where we receive most. That's where we receive the fire of Christ that He came to cast. And when we are burning up and we cannot stand it any longer, that's when we go to heaven. And so at this Mass, by our fervent prayers, we are increasing, and this is what she desires. We are increasing her pain, her suffering, by our sacrifices, our love. We increase hers. We increase her desire for God. And that's exactly what she wants. So pray fervently, brethren, especially now, because here we have the cause not only of her salvation, but we have the cause of her fire, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Our Lord and Savior is not only present here in our tabernacle, body, blood, soul, and divinity, but during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, he offers once again his passion and death to his Almighty Father. And it is at that moment when he dies at Mass, when he renews his death, that the souls in purgatory burn the most, burn with insatiable love. And just as a reminder before we close, this is how we can help her. Just to remind you, this is how we can help her in the days to come, by having the holy sacrifice of the Mass offered for the repose of her soul. This is where we receive the most help from Christ our Lord, our Savior, is through his sacrifice. And it is especially at Mass.